Hello, and thank you for joining me today for my poster presentation titled The Effects of Aphasia on Friendship, Friends' Perspectives. Thank you to my advisor, Dr. Samarja Gravett, and my committee members, Lynette Carlson and Dr. LaKyle. Approximately 180,000 people in the United States acquire aphasia every year, with stroke being the cause for 25 to 40% of these individuals. Language and communication are used to generate messages, share ideas, and build relationships. When the language system is impacted by aphasia, individuals have increased difficulty in communicating with others, putting them at risk for loss of friendships and changes in their quality of life. To understand the quality of life changes in those with aphasia, Zanella and colleagues 2023 studied the incidence and potential risk factors of post-stroke depression in individuals post-stroke with and without aphasia. Results from this study indicated that the incidence of post-stroke depression was much higher in post-stroke adults with aphasia when compared to those without aphasia. In a study by Northcott and Hilary 2011, findings from interviews at 8 to 15 months post-stroke established that individuals' friendship interactions changed, including difficulty with humor, maintaining two-way conversations, and expressing a thought or idea. Due to these changes in social interactions, people with aphasia may begin to seek friendship in others who have aphasia. Although interactions with others with aphasia has been found to enhance and build social relationships, there is still limited information on friendship interactions between individuals with aphasia and their peers without aphasia. The effects of aphasia on friendship gives importance to the understanding of the life participation approach to aphasia, which is a critical framework that rehabilitation professionals use to create functional interventions for individuals with post-stroke aphasia. For speech-language pathologists, or SLPs, the goal of LPAA is to create effective communication interventions by placing the individual with aphasia at the center of all decision-making. A component of this framework encompasses life participation and enhancement, including relationships and socialization. Research on the LPAA model found that individuals with aphasia identify friendship as an element to living successfully with aphasia. Therefore, this highlights the key role of understanding how individuals with aphasia and their friends can be best supported by rehabilitation professionals. Despite the prevalence of aphasia, there is still a lack of awareness and knowledge by the public. In a recent research agenda by Azios and colleagues 2022, they highlighted the need for understanding the viewpoints of friends of individuals with aphasia. These authors stated that there is little known evidence about the specific relationships between people with aphasia and their friends. The current problem is that there is a lack of research pertaining to friends of individuals with aphasia. Current research in the field more heavily involves the perspectives of people with aphasia or their spouses. For SLPs and other professionals to best support those with aphasia, it is important to understand friends' perspectives and understand how SLPs can intervene to support them. With this problem, the current literature, and the principles of LPAA in mind, a survey study was designed to answer the following questions. How knowledgeable are friends on the diagnosis of aphasia? How does an aphasia diagnosis affect friend relationship interactions from the friend's perspective? And are friends of individuals with aphasia interested in an informational group led by speech-language pathologists? After understanding the current evidence and voids in research, the survey was written and created using the University of Minnesota Qualtrics software. The survey consisted of 21 questions split into 6 different sections. The survey was estimated to take approximately 10 minutes or less. Participants were recruited through printed flyers that were posted in a university clinic in Minnesota. To ensure broader reach, these digital flyers were also distributed via targeted emails to local and regional aphasia groups, rehabilitation centers, and social media groups. Individuals were not eligible to participate if they were the significant other, child, or sibling of an individual with aphasia, or if they had a neurologic condition. If responses indicated eligibility, the participant was then taken to the consent form. Otherwise, they were thanked for their time. Data was collected upon closure of the survey. The original data analysis plan utilized a correlation analysis to compare the relationships between groups. Then these groups were to be based on the duration of friendship, participant age, and gender. However, the small sample size of this study allowed no statistical analysis to be performed. So visual analysis was used to draw conclusions from this very small sample. A total of 29 individuals accessed the survey, with two participants completing all survey and eligibility questions. The largest decrease in participants throughout eligibility questions came from the second question regarding history of neurologic condition, with 18 individuals choosing yes to having this history. The next significant decrease came from the fourth question regarding having a friend with aphasia who was a friend, not a spouse or a relative, with 5 individuals saying yes. 6 individuals left the survey voluntarily. 7 individuals left the survey voluntarily, which was indicated by unanswered questions. 2 participants completed all eligibility questions and the consent form, then fully completed all survey questions. In this study, participant 1 was a 43-year-old male who had been friends with a person with aphasia for 5 years. Participant 2 was a 60-year-old female who had been friends with a person with aphasia for 41 years. When asked to rate their current understanding of aphasia on a visual analog scale, from 0 to 100, P1, or participant 1, rated their current knowledge to be 70, and P2, or participant 2, rated their current knowledge to be 100. Participants were then asked to rate their response to different statements on a visual analog scale regarding communication effects. There were 5 different statements that participants were asked to rate, and these can be seen in Table 1. Due to the small sample size, statistical analysis was not conducted for this data set. However, a mean was gathered to understand each participant's overall perceived effects of communication. Each participant's responses to questions 1 through 5 were added up to gather a mean. This resulted in a mean rating of 92.6 in P2 and 72.6 in P1, indicating that P2 had an overall higher mean rating of their communication. The last section of the survey included a question to gauge interest in an informational group led by SLPs. With a yes response, further questions appeared regarding the format of an informational group. These questions included whether groups were in person or online, and if participants were interested in their friend with aphasia being present or not present. However, both participants in this study indicated no, so the follow-up questions were not displayed. It is important to recognize that the relationships and trends found in this study are not generalizable due to the small sample size. Researchers drew conclusions and made inferences based on the present data and the current literature. These conclusions should be interpreted with caution. Significant results were revealed when removing the incomplete responses or removing the responses that were excluded based on the eligibility for participation. There was a notable decrease in responses when asked if the person with aphasia was a friend, not a spouse or relative. A reason for this decreased response may have been due to people with aphasia seeking friendship and support in other people with aphasia. Therefore, individuals noted in the eligibility questions that they had history of a neurologic condition. Another reason for this challenge may have been that spouses or family members of people with aphasia are often taking over a caregiving role in the aphasia rehabilitation, and that increases the amount of time that the person with aphasia's spouse is present during their social interactions. The limited number of individuals who accessed the survey may have also been due to friendship loss or maintenance, which is a prevalent issue described in the aphasia literature. In a recent study by Thierin and colleagues, they found that over half of SLPs noted their clients with aphasia always or often had difficulty making and maintaining friendships. Another key finding in this study was the variance in participants' understanding of aphasia. A longer duration of friendship was associated with a higher perceived knowledge of aphasia when looking at P1 and P2's ratings. Madden and colleagues 2023 found similar discrepancies when people with aphasia were asked to report their friend's knowledge. The majority of people with aphasia reported that their friend knows a little about aphasia. However, all but one believed that their existing friendship could be improved. It was also found that people with aphasia associated loss of friendship with their friend's decreased knowledge of aphasia, and this was found in a study by Brown and colleagues 2013. Both participants in the present study reported moderate to full understanding of aphasia, regardless of differences in their age and gender. In this study, P1, the younger male, had less knowledge of aphasia compared to P2, the older female. When surveying the public on aphasia awareness and knowledge, Code and colleagues, 2001, found slight increases in knowledge among females. As for the effects of aphasia on communication, P1 and P2 differed in age and gender, suggesting that there could be a relationship between age and gender and perceived effects of aphasia on friendship. Both participants reported that communication was not easy, but both reported high ratings of enjoyment. Of the responses from both participants, ease of communication was rated lowest for both. In an interview study by Archer and colleagues, people with aphasia mentioned that friends who remained around acquired new ways of communicating. If P1 and P2 were friends with the person with aphasia before and after their diagnosis, they might have felt that although communication was challenging, they found high enjoyment in their interactions. Both participants indicated no to interest in an informational group, but rated high ratings of enjoyment, involvement, and comfortability of communication with their friend. These responses suggest that the participants' overall feelings of their friendship quality may have explained their response of no. In addition, they both had a moderate to high perceived knowledge, which could have also explained this response of no. Trigea and colleagues, 2013, found that people with aphasia often had higher satisfaction with peer-led aphasia groups than professionally-led aphasia groups. This could have been a determining factor in the interest of friends of people with aphasia, indicating their response of no. It's also possible that both participants already felt knowledgeable and confident in their ability to communicate with their friends. Due to the study-specific eligibility criteria, several limitations were identified in this study. First was the small sample size, which does not provide significant results across the population of friends, with little variety in age, gender, or duration of friendship. Participation also may have been hindered by technological difficulties or access to technology. It is unknown how many individuals truly received recruitment messages as they were sent via email to aphasia group leaders, rehab coordinators, and social media group managers. The recruitment flyers that were electronically sent came from an email associated with the university, so it is unknown whether these were truly sent to inboxes or they ended up in receiver spam folders. Another limitation is that it is unknown how long post-onset of aphasia the individuals are referred to in this study, so it's unknown whether aphasia severity played into the friends' responses. The last limitation includes the details provided in the explanation of an informational support group led by SLPs. A more detailed description of the group may have provided the participant with more understanding. Future research requires a larger and more diverse sample to understand whether these findings are consistent. Other future research may include interview studies that give participants a more effective way to describe their perceptions. It is important that future directions incorporate modifying recruitment strategies to successfully reach the population of friends of people with aphasia. Overall, the findings from this study suggest that a greater understanding of aphasia may positively impact communication experiences, though challenges remain in maintaining ease of communication. This study calls attention to the challenge of reaching friends of people with aphasia who do not have aphasia themselves. Therefore, the thoughts and feelings from this specific group of individuals is limited. To assist those in living successfully with aphasia, more research is needed on how to better support people with aphasia and their friends. Thank you for listening to my poster presentation, and have a great day.